8th chapter, verses 26 through verse 39. That'll be Acts, the 8th chapter, verses 26 through verse 39. And it reads, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, and was returning and setting it in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to his chariot. And Philip ran to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou hast readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And he went down both, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing.
Good morning. It's good to see everybody here, and we especially are glad to see anyone who is visiting with us. I know that I have invited someone here, so I'm really glad to see her. And we're just happy to see our visitors. We love you, our friends, our family, co-workers, neighbors, and we just want you to be with us and hear the gospel preached. That's our aim. Really appreciate Wendell leading singing. I believe this is his first time. And so he's doing a good job. And we had a really good Dorcas Day yesterday, got word of that. That went really well. I myself missed it because, like me, I think I'm getting old or something, but I was thinking it was in September. Don't laugh at me. I just had my 55th birthday, and I think my mind is gone. But anyway, I was thinking it was in September, but I called my sister, and she said it was going really well. They collected over 80 backpacks to give to those who are in need, and plus you had the clothing and everything else that were given away. So, it's a good work for those in need, and that's an evangelistic work when you're doing benevolence like that and helping people who are in need that especially may not have heard the gospel. This morning, I really appreciate the reading from my brother this morning. I know it was a lengthy reading, but a very necessary reading, and I hope you were paying attention. So without further ado, because I don't want to take up too much time, let's get to the lesson. Today there is so much confusion about how one might be saved from sin. Some will say this, and some will say that, but the question is, what does God's word say? Is it really that complicated? Are there not any clear examples in the Word of God, in the Bible, of those being saved? And I'll answer with a resounding yes. Such an example we just read, that of the Ethiopian eunuch, a very clear example of a man being saved from his sins. As a matter of fact, this example is so simple It can be described as what we used to use as that metaphor, a piece of cake. When something was real simple, we say, hey, that's a piece of cake. So this morning, you know, I don't have my PowerPoint with me, but I do have some props. So we're going to go through some props this morning. We got the real deal, all right? So this morning we're going to start off, and what we're going to do, we're going to bake a cake. And we're going to show you just how simple the plan of salvation is by laying it right alongside of baking the cake. Now, when you are baking the cake, what is the first thing you need? You need a recipe, don't you? You need a recipe to have a cake. So where's the place that you find your recipe? It's one of these, called a cookbook, Plan of Salvation. You need a recipe. That recipe is called the gospel. And where do you find the gospel? Where you find the gospel? In the Bible. Isn't that right? Whether you have Bible like this, printed form, or you have it on your phone, on an app, it's in the Bible. That's where you find God's plan of salvation. Now, in the cookbook, you must go to a specific recipe, right? So you got to go to a specific section in the cookbook, and then you must go to that specific item and then find the recipe for that item. It's no different with the Bible. But, you know, the eunuch, what was he doing? He was reading Isaiah, wasn't he? He was reading Isaiah. What section of the Bible is that in? That's the Old Testament. In the Bible, you must search in the correct section if you want to find God's plan of salvation, if you want to find the gospel. And that's in what section? The New Testament. It's in the New Testament. And your search, also, you must search for the right subject matter. That's Jesus Christ. And then also, you must go and choose the right plan, and that's the gospel. This eunuch, he was searching in the right place or searching for the right person, but he was in the wrong place. He was in the Old Testament. Verse 28, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Now, in a cookbook, if I want to make a bundt cake, I don't go into the meat section and pull out the recipe for barbecue chicken. I'm not going to get a cake, am I? No, I go to the dessert section, and then I find the correct recipe for the type of cake that I want to bake. So it's no different with the Bible. You got to go to the right section and to the right place and look for the right thing. And so this eunuch, even though he knew God, he didn't know Christ. Remember, he said, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or some other man? And remember, Isaiah, that was a prophecy of Christ. But the eunuch didn't know that. And so Philip began the same scripture. And what did he begin to preach? He preached unto him Jesus. So now, I have my cookbook, but let me ask you a question. Is this a cake? No, it's not a cake. Many people have the Bible. They have the Bible on their coffee table, in their phone, wherever you might have it. But guess what? Does the Bible make you a Christian? Just because you have one? No, it doesn't make you a Christian. Bible does not make you a Christian. Nope. So let's move on. Next thing you're gonna need is something to hold the ingredients. So, how about this? Is this going to hold my ingredients? No. Just the wrong thing, ain't it? Yeah. All right, so, I need a bowl, a mixing bowl. Yeah. Something that I can put the ingredients in to hold the ingredients. No different with God's plan of salvation. That needs to hold the ingredients, but I need to hear the gospel. And in order to hear the gospel, I have to have a sound mind. I have to have a mind that's able to take it in, to hear it, and understand it. That's why the eunuch was asked, understandest thou what thou readest? You have to understand. Ephesians 5 and verse 17, we have to understand what the will of the Lord is. And so I need to have the right kind of mind to do that. And I have to have a bowl that's going to hold it. That's going to hold it. Now, every man that heareth and learneth of the Father cometh unto me. That's what it says in John chapter 6, verse 45 through 46. Now, babies, young children, and those with a severe mental deficiency, they're not able to hear and understand. So guess what? They're not accountable to God for their sin because they have no sin. And so if they were to die in that state, Don't worry, God has them taken care of. You know, these people that are baptizing babies for the remission of their sins, what sin? A baby cannot hear and understand the gospel. And that's why this eunuch was asked, understandest thou what thou readest? So I've heard the gospel. What? I have my bowl. I have my bowl here. I was able to hold the ingredients. But is this a cake? No, it's not a cake. I have a sound mind, and I've heard the gospel. This eunuch heard the gospel. But is he a Christian yet? Has he been saved? Oh, no, he hasn't. Let's move on to the next ingredient. Next ingredient, something very important. I need some flour. Who can make a cake without flour? There may be some out there, I don't know. There may be some ingredients that call for cake without flour, but I'm gonna go ahead and pour this in here. And now I have my flour in my bowl. So I've got my flour. And the flour is really the foundation of the recipe, is it not?
Yes.
When you're making a cake, well, guess what's the foundation for the plan of salvation? It's called faith. It's called faith. Remember the eunuch was asked, you know, or he asked a question, what hindereth me? He said, and Philip said, if thou believest, thou mayest. If thou believest, so faith, in verse 37, faith, if thou believest, it's the main ingredient of the gospel plan of salvation. It is the foundation. As a matter of fact, without flour, it's impossible to make this cake that we're trying to make because of the recipe that's called for. It calls for flour. Well, guess what? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For one that cometh to him must believe that he is and is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's Hebrews 11 and verse 6. And so you have to have faith. And you also, with this, you have to have a starting point. You have to have a starting point. For our recipe for the cake, it starts with the flour. As a matter of fact, you know, some recipes, if you switch the order up, it messes up the results. Well, with the plan of salvation, it starts with faith. This man had heard the gospel, and now that's what produces faith. Because faith comes by hearing, and what? Hearing by the word of God. So Romans 10 and verse 17, so it has a proper order. So you must have the bowl first, something to hold the ingredients, and then you have the flour put into the bowl. Can't go the opposite way. It doesn't even make sense. So after hearing, one must believe. You know, even Peter said this of the Gentiles that he would be sent to in the book of Acts, chapter 15 and verse 7, that they will hear the gospel, they must hear the gospel and believe. So the hearing comes first, and then the believing. Now, I have my bowl, and I have my flour in my bowl. But let me tell you, is this a cake?
No.
I've seen even little kids shaking their head. It's very simple. This is not a cake. Well, I have belief. I've heard the gospel, and I believe, but is the eunuch a Christian yet?
No.
You know, let me tell you, the Bible says that even the devils believe.
Yes.
Even the devils believe and tremble. That's in James chapter 2. So let me ask you a question. Are the demons Christians?
No.
Would you say that a demon is saved?
No.
Well, the Bible says the demons believe, but it doesn't make them a Christian. And it's not going to make this man a Christian either. There's something else that he must do. You know, there are even people out there right now that say, yeah, I believe, but I don't care. I don't care. I believe, but I'm going to live my life the way I want to. I know people like that. So can you call them a Christian?
No,
you can't. Even though they believe that Jesus is the Son of God, they're just not going to change. And that brings me to the next point. Now, we need some milk and some eggs, don't we? Y'all didn't think I was going to do this, did you? We need some milk and eggs. Now, I didn't bring no eggs with me, you know. But I did bring some milk, just to make the point. And when I do that, and I go to stir this, what happens? It changes, doesn't it? It changed form. You know, if I just stopped at the flour, you know what? And I stop at belief, my belief is just blowing in the wind. My faith just blows in the wind just like this flour. You know, the Bible says that we need not to be children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. So you can't stop that belief. There has to be a change. Your faith has to cause some kind of reaction. And that's the change that we see here with this milk and this egg. So now, let's go and look at how that applies to the plan of salvation. What is change in the plan of salvation called? It's called repentance. It's called repentance. Repentance means to change. It means to turn. You know, the flower has to change from a powder form to a mixture, okay? And this same thing with this Christian. God commands all men everywhere to repent. That's Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. And why, 17:30-31, and why does he require all men everywhere to repent? Because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world by that man whom he have ordained, whereof he had given us assurance and that he had raised him from the dead. Who is that man? Jesus Christ. We're going to be judged, and therefore we need to repent. And he says all men everywhere, and he's given assurance to all men. And you know, you can't make this cake without this change. Do you know what? You can't be saved without repenting. Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Does that sound like a person that's going to be saved if they don't repent? That's in Luke. Luke chapter 13 and verse 3. And so the milk and the eggs are added for the purpose of changing the consistency of the flour. So Paul said he was being sent to preach the gospel for that very reason. And so that the Gentiles will turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan and unto God. That's called repentance. He's trying to get them to turn. That's exactly what repentance means. It means to turn. And so that's why we preach the gospel. And without this change, we're headed for disaster. And without the change in your recipe, your recipe is headed for disaster. You know, it says your faith must produce a change of life starting with obeying the gospel. That's in Romans chapter 10 and verse 16. But God be thanked that you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine that was delivered you. And being free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. So, you know, we are to be servants of righteousness and not unrighteousness anymore. That's the change. That is the change. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And verse 8, you know, just like if I were to put this flour and take it without putting the milk and eggs there and just go ahead and bake that flour, what would happen to that flour? It would just burn. Well, guess what if you don't repent? It says you either turn or you're going to burn. You know, that's 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. It says Jesus is going to return what? In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them who know not God and do what? Obey not the gospel. So obedience to the gospel is very important because it will lead to destruction if you don't. The eunuch's repentance is seen in verse 36 when he said, what doeth hinder me? What doeth hinder me? So after hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ, you know, he wanted to obey that. He had been obeying the Old Testament. As a matter of fact, he had come to Jerusalem to worship. So undoubtedly, he was a proselyte. And he had come to observe the Passover. And now he was returning. And he was in his chariot, and he was reading Isaiah. So he obeyed the Old Testament as far as he could. But now he heard the gospel. And now he wanted to obey the New Testament, that testament for which Christ died. So now he wanted to obey Christ and the New Testament. And so therefore, you see his repentance. He said, what doeth hinder me? What did he want to do? He wanted to obey. What hindereth me? And so now we have the cake mix. I think I need to put some more in here. This ain't There we go. So we got the cake mix, and we got the batter. But let me ask you a question. Y'all know what's coming. Is it a cake yet?
No.
No, it's not a cake. It's not a cake. So this man who has believed and he has repented, is he a Christian yet? Has he been saved? Now, that may be a shock to some folks, but guess what? His gospel obedience is not yet complete. That's why. It's just not yet complete. If you were to stop here, all you would have is a mix. If you stop at faith and repentance, you're just mixed up. You've just been mixed up. So you can't stop there. Yep, there's something else he must do. So let's move on to the next section. And this is the section that I really like. I call this the confections. The confections. The next thing you need in the ingredients is that good old sugar and spices. Isn't that right? Well, I remember when my mom used to do this. You know, I'd be in the kitchen. This was the time I would come to the kitchen when she was baking a cake. And I'm going to tell you why after we get through this. But you know, you put a little bit of sugar in there, and I'm not going to, y'all know I ain't going to do the whole thing like it's grit. But you know, sugar, and then she might melt some butter, put it in there, and then with that vanilla extract, oh man, when that thing kicked off, man, I knew something good was coming. You know, that's the sweetest part of the recipes, what gives the cake that sweet flavor. But guess what? Plan of salvation, you know what's so sweet in that plan? It's called the confession. It's the confession. What sweeter words can roll off the mortar tongue than the name of Jesus Christ? Isn't that right? And this eunuch confessed the fact that he believed in Jesus Christ. You know, it says that there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Neither is there salvation in any other. It's Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. It says, God has given him a name above all names. In Philippians 2 and verse 9. And so, you know, in the cake, it was tastes good to the tongue. Isn't that right? Mm-hmm. But guess what? In the plan of salvation, we have to confess with our mouth. Romans 10, 9 and 10. You know, the recipe there is what warms the heart. When you get that sweet cake going in. Plan of salvation. We must confess what is on our heart. The belief that is in our heart must be confessed. It must be confessed. But then comes the benefit. There's a benefit to this mix once she puts all that stuff in there. Because you know why I was sticking around when Mom was making that cake? Because after she pours this mix out, I get the spoon. I get the spoon. And man, we would fight over that spoon. And licking the spoon, man, oh man, it was not, I tell you what, she could have stopped right there. You know, I would have just taken the whole bowl of mix, taken it back to my bedroom, licked my tongue out at my sister's, and said, it's all mine. But she didn't stop there, did she? No, she didn't stop. She didn't stop. You know, this is sweet, but is it a cake yet? It's not a cake. You know, we're not done with the recipe. We're not done. You know, this is really might be shocking, but you know, sadly today, people will stop right here, you know, at confession. But let me ask you, was the eunuch a Christian yet when he confessed? No. Had he been saved? No. You don't get this teaching out in the world. You don't. Sadly today, many are deceived into believing that this is where you stop. This is where you stop. At confession. It might be sweet, but it's not the plan. It's just not the plan. God's plan has even been modified to things like the altar call and the sinner's prayer. I went online looking at different sinner's prayers, and there's a lot out there. I didn't know there were so many. And I'm telling you this because this is what I believed at one point. But you couldn't find it in the Bible. And so my search continued. And finally, I listened because I was being a knucklehead, you know, like most people when you're trying to teach them the gospel. You know, I just wouldn't listen. But finally, I did when the Bible was opened up and I could see. But you know, here's one such example of a sinner's prayer. Dear Jesus, I know that I am a sinner and I need a Savior. I believe you are the Son of God, that you died, paid the price for my sins, and rose again. I ask you to come into my life. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. And then right after that, the preacher may say, if you said this prayer with me, I believe you just got born again. And that is so sad because a lot of folks are believing that. But let me ask you a question. Was this what the eunuch was told? Mm-mm. Do you even find that in the Bible anywhere? You don't. And so we can't stop right here. We have one more thing that we have to do. And that takes me to one last thing. You need the proper pen. For what? for bacon. Let me ask you something. If I put this to the heat, what's going to happen? That's some trouble. You know, we need something that's able to withstand the heat. And you might ask, well, what does that got to do with anything? Well, the mixing bowl can't take the heat. The baking pan can take the heat. And so when you pour the mix into the baking pan, my wife's gonna kill me. Now, this is a burnt pan, all right? So you pour the mix into the pan. Now, it's ready for some heat. It's ready for some heat. So, let me tell you what the baking pan is in the plan of salvation. Remember when the eunuch said, what hindereth me? And he said, if you believe in your what? In your heart. Look, you have to believe in your heart or you're not going to be able to take the heat. You must believe in your heart. And when you obey, when it's time for you to obey, you're going to feel some heat. You're going to feel some heat from mama. What's my mama going to say? From daddy? What's daddy going to say? That's not their church. Oh, yeah. From your friends? And so on it goes. You got to be able to take the heat. So if it's not something that you're deciding to do, it's not going to work. The chief rulers in John chapter 12 and verse 42, it says, among many of them, they believed in Jesus Christ, but because of the Pharisees, they would not confess him. Why? Because they didn't want to get put out of the synagogue. They couldn't take the heat. Their faith was still in the mixing bowl. That's where their faith was. And you know, with a lot of people today, their faith is still in the mixing bowl. Yes. They can't take the heat. Number two, you can't put your faith in somebody else's heart. No. And this is going out to our members here, especially those who have young kids that you know you want them to obey the gospel. But don't push them to the point where they're doing it to please you. They can't put their faith in your heart. It's got to be their decision. You know, when they become of age and they have to make the decision for themselves. And that's any of us, whether you have children or, you know, we have cases here where you meet someone, they're not in the church, and you bring them here, you want them to hear the gospel, because you might want to marry them. But you want to make sure, hey, I want them to be on the same footing as me, in line with me, with the gospel. So what do? Are you going to pressure them? No. Bring them here to hear the gospel. And we have those examples here where they bring, our young men and women bring someone here and let them hear the gospel for themselves. They don't pressure them. They don't pressure them. And we just had an example of that. A young man who, I won't say his name, I'm not going to embarrass him out here, but we had a young man who would not obey the gospel until he was ready. He said he was still searching. I talked to Greg about this. Greg was he was ecstatic because this man was doing his own search. He wasn't letting his girlfriend, you know, do the searching for him. He was doing it on his own. It was going to be his decision. You know, you can't put your faith in somebody else's heart. It is just not right. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. That's Romans 10 and verse 10. And that is why the Church of Christ is not a cult. It is not a cult. We do not put massive amounts of pressure on people or use scare tactics to get people to join us. That's what a cult does. And we don't do that. Nor are we like these large money-making denominations who will change the gospel into something that is some feel-good gospel, or they use entertainment and other gimmicks to draw the masses. We don't do that. We use the gospel of Jesus Christ and that alone. We use Christ's plan and that alone. And no matter what the results, if we're just two people down to two people in this building, then that's the way it's going to be. We're going to keep preaching the gospel no matter what, because that's the only thing that can say. It is the only thing that can say. And so now, we have the ingredients in the baking pan. But let me ask you, is this a cake? It's not a cake. Oh, we got one more thing left. It's got to go into the oven. All right, it's got to go into the oven. It has That batter has to be immersed in heat. Immersion is the process, and heat is the element. That's what causes the change. That's what causes the change that you're waiting for. And in the Christian, the plan of salvation, what you got to do? You got to be baptized. You got to be baptized. Baptism is immersion. It's immersion. Or to be submerged. You know, I work at the shipyard, and we work on two types of ships. One is called a surface ship because it sails on top of the surface of the water. One is called submarine. Why? Because it submerges and it goes under the water. And that's exactly what you got to do in God's plan. You have to be baptized. So immersion is the process, and water is the element. In the oven is where the cake mix is converted. In the plan of salvation is where the sinner is converted. Romans chapter 6 and verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. That's what happens when you're baptized. That the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. So, hey, that body of sin is destroyed, it says in baptism. That's Romans 6 and verse 6. And it's where in our recipe here, when it goes into the oven, is where the batter is reformed. So it is where you are reborn when you're baptized. In John chapter 3 and verse 5, Jesus would say, except a man is born of the water and of the Spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So we know water is baptism, but why the Spirit? You ever read 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13? It says, by one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, bond or free. And we have been all made to drink into that one Spirit. So it's the Spirit that revealed the plan to those inspired apostles who preached the plan, and now here we are obeying the plan. And therefore, if you're obeying that plan, you're obeying the Spirit. That's all that means. You're just obeying what the Spirit says to do. That's why it says by one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body. In the oven is where the cake is made. When baptism is where the sinner is saved. 1 Peter 3 and verse 21, it says, the like figure whereunto baptism do of all, so now wait for it. Save us. You can't get any plainer than that. You can't misunderstand that unless someone helps you to misunderstand it. Baptism do of all, so now save us. 1 Peter 3 and verse 21. In the oven is where that old batter is baked away, but in baptism is where the sinner's sins, are washed away. You know, Paul, who was Saul of Tarsus, when he found out that he had been persecuting Christ, Paul was so upset and distraught, he was praying. Not only was he praying, but he fasted for 3 days. And then Ananias came to him and said, Paul, that's real good. You've said the sinner's prayer. Now your sins are washed away. Come on, Paul, get up and let's go serve the Lord. Is that what he told him to do? Acts 22 and verse 16. No, when Ananias came to Paul and he was praying, as a matter of fact, the Spirit or Jesus told Ananias, hey, when you go find him, you will find him praying. So even Jesus knew he was praying. And so here, Ananias goes to him and he says, Saul, why tarriest thou? In other words, what are you waiting for? Arise. Get up, Saul, and be baptized, and do what? Wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. That means what? That calling on the name of the Lord there, that's not prayer. He's already been praying. That calling on the name of the Lord means the authority of Christ. Calling on his authority. Name is the same thing as authority. And he's calling on the name of Christ. In other words, he wants to do what Christ has specified to do to be saved. Matthew chapter 15, verses 15 and 16. Christ's recipe calls for baptism. Christ would tell his disciples to go into all the world. In Mark chapter 16, verses 15 through 16, he told his disciples, and this was before he rose from the dead. Before he rose up to go into heaven. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believeth And. Now, and is a conjunction word. You know, we used to watch that stuff on Saturday morning. Conjunction, junction. You know, Schoolhouse Rock. What's your function? Hooking up words and phrase. And is a conjunction word. It hooks the belief with what? Baptism. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And so this is Christ's recipe. It's what the recipe calls for, baptism. And so that's why we have on the day of Pentecost, that first Pentecost after Christ died and Peter and the apostle preached to the Jews, it says those that gladly received his word did what? They were baptized. That's Acts 2 and verse 41. The Samaritans in Acts 8 and 12. Saul in Acts 9 and 18. Cornelius in Acts 10 and 48. Lydia in Acts 16 and verse 14 and 15. The jailer in Acts 16, 33. The Corinthians in Acts 18 and 8. The disciple at Ephesus in Acts 9, 19 and 9. And now we have this Ethiopian eunuch in Acts 8 and verse 38. One who believed and was baptized. He believed, and he was baptized. But you know what? This cake can't stay in the oven forever, can it? So the recipe calls for there to be some kind of time lapse. But when it comes out of the oven, what is it now? Oh, it's a cake now. It is a cake. When you come out of that watery grave of baptism, what are you? You're a Christian. You're a Christian. When this eunuch came out of that watery grave, he came out a child of God, a Christian. He was a saved man. He was a converted man. He was a man of God. He was a Christian. And it was not until he came up out of the water. But now, let's talk about the icing on the cake. There is some icing. Now, this particular cake recipe doesn't necessarily call for icing. But those that do, after you put the icing on, what do? Serve. Isn't that right? You serve the cake. With the plan of salvation, guess when the icing is applied? The moment you're baptized. Galatians 3, 26 and 27 says you are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, of what?
Put on
Christ. That's the icing on the cake. You put on Christ. There's nothing sweeter than that. You're raised to walk in newness of life, Romans 6 and verse 4. You're raised to serve righteousness. But God be thanked that you obey from the heart that form of doctrine. And being made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. We have to serve. And you know what? The more you become like Christ, the sweeter you become. That's God's perfect plan. That's Christ's perfect recipe. So the question is, this morning, what are you going to do? No, the eunuch said, what hindereth me? What hindereth me? So the question that we have for you, what's hindering you? As soon as that eunuch saw water, he says, see, here's water. And all we know is that Philip preached unto him Jesus. So somewhere in that preaching was baptism. And that eunuch didn't want to wait. It seemed as though as they were going along, he was looking. And as soon as he spotted something, see, here's what. Well, we say to you, see, here's water. What's hindering you? What's hindering you? Like I said before, we're not a cult. We're not going to pressure you with some undue pressure. We will tell you, because it's true, that tomorrow is not promised. So today, if you hear his voice, you know, you need to obey. But if you need to study more, don't wait. Come to us and let us know. If you're just not sure, come to us, let us know. You know, because we love you. You know, I'm so glad that my dad, I always kind of tear up a little bit, but my dad didn't push me. He didn't pressure me. I pushed him back many times. What makes your church the right church? That's exactly what I said to him. Why is your church right? But that's before I really opened up the Bible and started really looking at it. And then my dad pulled us to the side, both me and my wife, before we were married. We were dating. Took us to the side, and I don't know what got into me that day, but I finally let him open the Bible and teach me. And I couldn't say anything against it anymore. It was right there. Same thing we're looking at right now with this eunuch. So what are you waiting for? If you need to respond, if you know you need to be baptized, if you were baptized by any other plan, maybe you were a baby and you didn't know what you were doing, maybe you were baptized thinking that, hey, I'm already saved, I'm just being baptized as an outward sign, because that's another thing that's being taught today. That's not Christ's plan. That's not his recipe. And so therefore, you're going to miss the boat. When Christ comes back, you're going to be one of those who have not obeyed the gospel. And remember, it says he will take vengeance on those who know not God and have obeyed not the gospel. And that's why we plead with you. If you need to respond, come and do so now as we stand and we sing the song that's been selected.